I'm writing Birkenhare is a strip club in Edinburgh.
Jesus.
It's part...
That sounds distasteful. Yep. How much... What are they stripping off? Skin?
Probably, like, yeah.
Muscle? Like that... Like the Robbie DJ. Williams,
yeah. Yeah. You go in, it's just that on a loop for hours and hours.
Sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, where we celebrate the best of the worst. I'm Barry McStay, and each week I, my co-host and our guest, propose our candidates for the title of the world's worst something. Some people just want to watch the world burn, and then there are those who don't mean to, but one night they fall asleep with a cigarette in their mouths, which drops out during a particularly strong snore, and before they've even woken up, they've incinerated Europe and most of Africa. And as they stand there, spraying the fire extinguisher into their own faces, we at Worst Foot Forward shout, "Foam Party!" And as ever, joining me to wave his nozzle about irresponsibly is my soggy friend... Ben Vandeveld.
That is why I will never be the fire officer in any organisation.
God help us all.
I felt like you just did a very strange alternate reality take for the causes of World War II. That was...
Well, I mean, yeah. Guys.
It's... If Franz Ferdinand hadn't have been shot and it was someone else,
yeah,
that's it. Was just that
gonna,
been it.
Someone
yeah.
would have left. Someone would have left an electric blanket on fire. It was going to happen anyway.
Well, instead of it being an assassin from the Black Hand, just yeah. a granny in Austro-Hungary. Sorry!
Yeah, exactly.
I am... there was another thing you talked about in that at the start about, accidentally leaving the gas on. I can't remember if I've spoken about this in another pod.
No.
Oh, I almost once accidentally gassed my brother's cat, which, I know, considering my ethnic background, that would have been doubly ironic. I was at my brother's house, and I woke up and had a spliff, and then I decided I would have some chips and turn the oven on, and then I had another spliff, and then I decided to go about my business of the day, leaving the gas oven on and slowly filling up the house full of gas.
Wow.
Yeah, and only the quick behaviour of his next-door neighbour stopped my brother from coming home to a dead cat and a crater of a house.
Wow. Yeah, doing a Fight Club. That's terrible.
Yeah, doing a fucking Ren and Stimpy version of Fight Club.
Shall we introduce our guest?
We shall introduce our guest. This week's guest is the brilliant... Oh, Jesus Christ, edit that shit out.
Nope, saying
no,
it.
I no, I like it, yeah. Brilliant, because it's like it's my name.
Like Lewis Carroll.
Yeah, like, what's it called? What they call those
words? Portmanteau.
Portmanteau, yeah. Are brilliant, and Kiri.
Yeah, it is. Okay, well, this week's guest is a portmanteau. No. this week's guest is the director of the award-winning sketch group Gaines Family Gift Shop, known for their bloodthirsty comedy. She's also a superb stand-up comedian in her own right, appearing on The Now Show, on Radio 4, and also her own fantastic podcast all about serial killers, All Killer, No Filler. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the wonderful Kiri Pritchard-McLean. God damn it, all the hell.
Nearly.
Yeah, I know. I thought someone with so many names would be absolutely fine rattling through two.
Yeah. Come on, two and a half.
Yeah.
yours is a little bit of a tongue twister, whereas mine is very much like a warm-up.
Okay.
Ben Vandeveld is easy, but yeah. Kiri Pritchard-McLean, you can get lost in in the B roads of your name.
It's a different cadence, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Do you have middle names?
Yeah, I've got the classic boring Louise, the ready salted crisps.
Where do you put it? Where do you put it then?
On nothing because it's so shit. Because I really smash it. Kiri, absolutely great name. Pritchard-McLean, people think I'm a Tory, but it's because my parents are unmarried. So I absolutely love my
name. Fine line.
Yeah, exactly. I have to say this, but I remember like some people have gone, "Oh, you're posh then." I'm like, absolutely not. Other way around, scumbag parents. I'm a bastard. I'm one of you. But yeah, I absolutely love my name. And Louise really just torpedoes it, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry to any Louises listening.
Because you've got a shit name.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's absolutely fine as a first name, but it really drags down Kiri as a second name.
Oh, so you don't mind if it's in the... It has its own place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like some names would be shit as middle names, but are
totally, like you can't have curry for breakfast.
Yeah.
Unless it's cold.
Yeah, but Keith, like, is a
but you can have Kiri for breakfast if you're a serial killer.
I mean, how rude can we be?
As rude as you want, yeah. Also, the thing, I feel like with Louise as your middle name, like, you know how in Olympic diving they have to take off the top score and the bottom score and average it out? So we can take out Kiri and Louise and then you're left with Pritchard McLean.
Yeah, which means you're an 80s detective series.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Pritchard McLean, attorney at law.
Well, all my brothers and I have all got different. So one of my brothers took Pritchard, one of my brothers took McLean, and I took both because I got illusions of grandeur. And I went to private school for a very short while, and I was like, oh, I know how to belong. So none of us look related. I don't. Well, my parents use their own names as well. It's a very, very peculiar setup. Basically, I make myself as untraceable as possible.
There's probably very good reasons for that, isn't
there? Absolutely, yeah.
Well, we always ask our guests what they're worst at in the world. Have you got a suggestion for us?
I think being humble. It's not my bag.
I am just the worst at that.
Yeah, I really am. I don't know what it is. I think it's the perfect storm of being the youngest and the only girl. And my dad, like, every morning giving me, like, the most insane pep talk when I was going to school. He would just be like, you're amazing, you're brilliant, don't let anyone tell you you're anything less than brilliant.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, mom, this is delicious. And I really took it. You know, some people are like, I remember my dad made fun of me for having small boobs once and now I've got a complex.
Yeah.
Like, I have really taken to heart only positive things that he said about me. So
all those times he said your boobs are amazing, Kiri.
Yeah, every time I was like, thanks, daddy.
It's like all those times your dad said your boobs are tiny and that's why I ended up as a stripper, whereas Kiri owns a range of strip clubs.
The big mama.
Oh, I'd love that.
How old were you when your dad gave you the pep talks?
So it was when I was going to primary school, and I think some of it is because, so I did go to a private school for that first bit, but I was, this is the most unsympathetic thing to talk about in the world, but I was a poor kid basically because my parents were going out and working like 8 jobs to put me there. So I think he was worried that I would have sort of a, because I was very markedly the poor one, so his way is like, just, you're great, don't let anyone tell you you're not great, and you occupy your space in the world, like, really, like, great stuff. I mean, also terrible things about black people. He's not a hero. generally, like, yeah, just really building me up. And I've believed everything. Like, that's why I was never any good at, like, job interviews or anything, because you have to, like...
Because you just be openly racist.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, that's... just so you know, this is how I feel about sharing knives and forks with these people.
That's why you have the double surnames.
It's something quite colonial about two surnames as well, isn't it? But yeah, no, it was... so, like, when I go for job interviews, you know, you have to do that sort of, like, faux, humble, modest bullshit. Yeah. And I could never...
What are your weaknesses,
I couldn't think of any. One interview, I panicked and said, ankles, and that is definitely not what I
after. What you've got to do is you've got to engage the Louise drive when you're in
interviews. What would Louise do?
Exactly.
Please, call me Louise.
My friend has got a brilliant bit of stand-up about how she, Rachel Fairbairn, who I do the podcast with, about how she keeps telling her boyfriend that he's going to leave her for a woman, and she knows exactly what she's like. And she's like, she's called Chloe, and she lives for the weekends and wine o'clock. And like, when I think of Louise, it's that kind of girl. So yeah, maybe I need to engage my inner Louise.
Just buy a Hello Kitty handbag and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's like a Zumba, that kind of thing. Start reading Now magazine.
Given your passion and your podcast, we are going to discuss this week the world's worst serial killer. Yes, a comedy podcast about serial killers.
You know what? It does surprisingly all right.
That speaks the voice of experience.
Why the interest in serial killers, first of all?
Rachel's got a very specific origin story, but I can't.
Those are the only two things with origin stories, superheroes and serial killers. Yeah,
absolutely. And both rack up the numbers, if you think about it. There's always casualties, isn't there? I don't know. Do you know
Wilder is a serial killer, Superman.
Yes. Well, like when people are like, can't wait till you do a podcast on Tony Blair, and you're like, come on, mate, calm down. Someone said that this morning, actually.
Of course they did. Yeah, I'm sure the rule is if they don't look them in the eyes, then it's not serial killing.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually. I don't know. I've always been obsessed with horror and scary things. I'm one of those people who, you know, it's like gets a thrill from very scary things.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I would obsessively read Frankenstein and Dracula, Hand of the Baskervilles. And so I've always just enjoyed that thing of freaking myself out. And then I think it was when I was in my sort of first year of uni, I wasn't having a great time and I'd have quite bad insomnia. So I used to read about serial killers quite a lot and cannibals and stuff like that.
It's the time, in, like, any time I would read about, like, John Gacy or yeah. anything like that, it'll be like 3 o'clock in the morning, can't sleep, and I've done a wiki surf and started at like kittens
yeah.
and ended up at serial killers.
What, and what did John Gacy have for lunch?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been Richard Trent Chase, actually. But,
and so the encyclopedia opens.
Well, with it, do you know what the biggest rabbit hole is there's a great Wikipedia page which is serial killer by country. So yes. you can, like, that is...
like a Eurovision of serial killers.
Absolutely. Oh my God, that's like my two favourite things mixed together. Oh, wow, yeah. A Eurovision of serial killers. What a great musical that would be.
I mean, it'd have to be Eurovision because America would win if it was a worldwide competition.
Yeah, that's true,
hands down.
Actually, Germany have really boxed it off.
Have they?
Yeah, yeah. They whack out
serial killers.
No,
we said if Hitler looked him in the eyes, then he gets them.
Don't push your agenda, mate.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, it's Germany really, like, Germany whack out serial killers like China whacks out, like, piano prodigies. Like, I don't know what they've got going on there, but it's...
They start them at a very young age.
Yeah.
Their dad sits them down, gives them a very positive pep talk, encourages their confidence.
You've got to practice every day. You need to kill someone every day until you get it right.
This actually took me back, first of all, to my school days, because I remember there was a kid in my class at school, David Amos, who was like you. He was obsessed with serial killers.
Really?
To the level of, I don't know when you did your GCSEs, but for GCSE English Literature, we had to do an oral presentation about something we were passionate about. And so, like one of my mates did about tennis. I did it about reggae because I enjoyed being bullied. And David did it about serial killers. And he was so confident. And I distinctly remember a moment where he talked about one particular massacre. And he said, so yes, I'm talking about this massacre. It happened in the late 80s. Can anyone guess where it was? And the teacher said, was it Hungerford? And he said, yes, miss, well done.
Oh.
Hungerford. Wow. He was in his fucking element.
Wow. I remember those GCSE talks. There was a guy who was already sort of on the periphery socially, and he did his presentation on his pet rats, and it's like, mate, play the game. And then at one point he was like, sort of like, he brought them in and was sort of knocking about with them, and then he was like, they can do the coolest things. And he was like, if you put, and then proceeded to put some jam on the back of his tongue, open his mouth, and the rat put his mouth in and ate the jam off his tongue. And I just remember one of the guys in my class going, at least we know he's not fridge anymore. Like, just one of those beautiful things that only teenagers can come out with. I was like, Sam, what are you doing?
Jesus Christ. That's a kid who read about Room 101 in 1984 and was getting the wrong kind of thing.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. So I decided to try and look up people who were shit at being serial killers.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I went at the other end because I thought it was too easy to just go... I'll admit, there's something sort of disappointing about Shipman, because obviously he racked up a high body count, but he's not a showman.
No.
Do you know what
totally
I mean?
Agree.
There are others.
Classic arrogant doctor, I would say.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
He had it too easy because he got to sign all the death certificates as well, didn't he? So he could do the killing and then hush it up anyway.
Yeah, it was very much the 2-yard tap-in of serial killers. Yes. He's the Andy Cole of serial killers.
Yeah, 218 murders.
No, way more than that. So when he was,
well, that's the inquiry said. But
yeah, but they
more, yeah.
they do that thing where they cut it off.
Yeah.
So when he lived, when he was in Todmorden, which is an absolutely lovely little place in Yorkshire, it's really nice, isn't it? It's next to Hebden Bridge, which is the lesbian utopia that they built in Yorkshire. when he was in Todmorden, so his MO was that he would sort of kill them. You could tell that they'd been killed because they were sort of in their clothes, sat up in their living room, which is kind of a weird way for elderly people to die. It's usually in bed. The instance of a doctor finding you dead like that is about 0.8%.
Yeah.
And when he was at Todmorden, the deaths found like that were 40%.
Wow.
So he definitely started way before Hyde in Manchester.
Yeah.
Great trivia, right?
Strong footnote. I would love to see you host a pub quiz.
Actually, I used to at like a little comedy club. Me and my friend Will Duggan used to, and there was always at least 2 rounds on serial killers. And one of the rounds I came up with was... Will puts an iPad on and dances to a song and you have to guess what it is. And it was like the most beautiful, sad 3 minutes ever.
And guess which serial killer would listen to the song.
Guess which serial killer or a child sex offender you listen to.
I just love the thought of you and Will walking into that pub, seeing a couple of police officers doing a 180 and walking right out of there. They're onto us, Will. I looked at a couple of bungled serial killers, so you might mention later. Son of Sam,
yeah.
He eventually got caught because of a parking ticket.
Yes.
And then there's, I think, Ted Bundy as well. He got caught with, like, the tools in the back of his car.
Yeah, is that in right? His VW Beetle, yes. But they all, I mean, they all have to get, well, not all of them, but they usually, it's usually the tiniest thing that gets
little
them caught.
Details,
like, yeah, yeah, with the Yorkshire Ripper, he was, he had his murder kit on, which was a jumper that he used to put his legs through, and then his knackers would hang out of the neck, which is like the weirdest thing ever, isn't it? and he was sort of going about his business, and he got caught by the police, and they said, what are you up to? He said, oh, I'm just having, he said, oh, no, I'm just out. And he had his hammer with him.
Oh,
and they arrested him for sort of like, you know, soliciting.
Yeah.
And then he went, oh, can I just have a piss? And then went off and threw the hammer. And it wasn't, it was like a day later when the police officer was like, I'm sure I heard something when he went for a piss, yeah, something metallic hitting. Yeah. And it was just that one police officer following his instinct. And they found the hammer and then lo and behold.
Surely the Ripper could have just gone, no, I piss hammers. I had a really
I'm
big gallstone.
Yeah. Yeah. I piss hammers now. Steel, good steel hammers. There's so many instances as well where the police could have got them. Like Jeffrey Dahmer, his first murder, he was stopped by the police with a dismembered, yeah, body in the back. And then he was pissed, he was hammered. And then he was in the back and they were like, where are you going? He said, oh, I'm just dropping these bin bags at the tip. And they're, yeah, like, all right then, come straight back.
Who was the guy who lived in North London? Was that...
Dennis Nielsen.
Dennis Nielsen, because he was like bringing boys home and things like that. And he was always being... Guys would be like, oh, this guy was acting suspicious and trying to pick me up. And
yeah,
people would sort of brush over and then they realise, oh, hang on, he's killed lots of people.
God, yeah. It's like, you know, back in the 90s when Michael Atherton would drop Brian Lara on 3 runs.
Yes.
And then he ends up scoring 375.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what you just said. Yeah. No idea.
It's a cricket thing.
Oh,
yeah,
right, okay.
I thought a cricket analogy was exactly what a serial killer podcast means. I'm going to mention one successful serial killer before I get to my suggestions.
How are we defining successful?
Sorry, but successful. Well, successful is in he killed. This is a man who confessed to 27 murders, but the death count may be as high as 200 from those very low statistics.
Oh, yes.
Spot, can you tell me who that is?
I know who it is.
Is it the South American guy, Pedro Alonso? No, go on.
No,
it's Henry Howard Holmes.
Henry Howard Holmes.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you why I think he's a rubbish serial killer.
Herman Mudgett.
Excuse me?
H.H. Holmes.
H.H. Holmes, yeah, yeah.
Herman
Mudgett.
Oh, I've got Howard Henry.
His actual name is Herman Mudgett.
Oh, so he's pulled a Gideon Osborne.
Yeah, so he has.
And there's a man who definitely has the fucking skins of dead children in his closet.
Mudgett is the Louise of serial killer middle names.
Here's the thing, I love him. So I've got a quote from him, which was, I was born with the devil in me. I could not help the fact that I was a murderer. No more than the poet can help the inspiration to sing. And here's the thing with that.
Do you want to tell the listeners how you kill him? Yeah,
yeah, I'll tell that. There's the man's an artist.
Yeah.
He created the Murder Castle, which is a 3-story house of horrors featuring trapdoors, mazes, and in the words of another article I saw, it's honeycombed with small passengers, a labyrinth, several gas chambers, Yeah, it sounds like the best funhouse I never got to play at. And that's why I think he's a terrible serial killer, because all the other serial killers I wouldn't want to meet, I wouldn't want to work with. This guy's the P.T. Barnum of serial killers.
He was really clever, because he designed this house for the Chicago World's Fair.
Yeah.
He just knew loads of people would be coming to Chicago. And he kept changing architects, so nobody knew what the overall plans for this like horrible hotel was that he was building. And he'd have bricked off rooms, and then another architect come in, and he'd give them different plans for what was already there and so on. Yeah,
yeah.
It was amazing.
And often he'd hire sort of builders that couldn't speak English,
yeah,
and he would sack them a few weeks in and things. And it was also with him, he's fascinating, because it was literally all about money. He would take out life insurance on these people and then just bump them off. He'd sell their cadavers, he'd sell their bones, he'd strip them. It was just about money. I mean, you know that, like, that beautiful thing about never waste any part of the animal. Like, to be fair, H.H.
yeah.
Holmes used everything.
Yeah,
nose to tail cannibalism.
And funny enough about animals, he was caught because of a horse theft.
Yes, he jumped states.
Yeah, yeah.
He stole Shergar.
yes. It's a previous podcast we've done.
Yeah.
No, he moved to Texas and tried to build one of them in Fort Worth. But there was something about him having stolen a horse, and he was arrested for that.
Yeah.
And being investigated for that, they discovered what he was trying to do in Texas and then traced it back back to.
Oh God, it's like the whole Al Capone getting done for his taxes thing, isn't it?
Get him on something.
He has an absolutely brilliant moustache as well. A bit like Tumblety, who's the person I think Jack the Ripper was.
Yes, yeah,
a
yeah.
A bit like an incredible... Tumblety is the one who definitely was the Ripper.
He's the most likely one, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, they tried to pin it on a Polish guy recently, but it's very much the climate, isn't it?
Yeah. My favourite thing about Tumblety was he worked in America and Canada as a quack doctor. He had a collection of uteruses in Washington.
From every class of woman.
Every type of woman
boast.
He could do. And but he was arrested because when Lincoln was assassinated, because he was friends with David Herold, who was a friend of John Wilkes Booth. So he had a connection to the Lincoln assassination.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, he jumped countries.
Yeah.
And when he jumped countries, the Jack the Ripper-style murders started happening in the same place. So that's what I think it's.
Wow. He was staying in a boarding house in Whitechapel around the right time and everything.
He's very much like one of those Victorian sportsmen who, like, opened the batting for England, but also played number 9 at the football team and was, like, a hooker in the scrum.
Yeah. And discovered several islands in the Pacific.
Yeah, look, some people have just got it.
Yeah.
He's got the X factor. So I'm torn between a couple for my choice. The first one is a very modern serial killer, and we don't know who it is. It is the M25 cat killer.
Oh.
As you may not be aware.
Oh, yes, I do know about this, in the churchyard.
I don't know if it's in the churchyard, but there was, at the time of going to press, over the past 3 years, over 250 cats have been catnapped. They've been decapitated, had their tails lopped off, their paws lopped off. And then either left on display underneath bedroom windows or outside school playgrounds.
As like draft excluders.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're on Etsy.com as well. And the thing's like, obviously, that's horrible. That's really nasty to do. Firstly, there is a slight sort of Wallace and Gromit element to it, because the... we all want to watch that stop motion, don't we? Just decapitating these cats with this incredible Heath Robinson contraption. But the reason I say that is because the people who are hot on the trail of this guy are called the South Norwood Animal Rescue Liberty Charity, or SNARL.
They sound more annoying than the guy who's killing cats.
Yeah,
exactly. And then the latest article I read about it is that he might be doing it for sexual tics.
Unless the cat's been well wormed, there won't be any ticks on it.
Very well done.
Sorry.
I was hoping one of you would pick it up, and it turns out that it wasn't the professional comedian. So that was like...
No, it's the one who likes to go for the easy pun.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to pick. I mean, I'm gonna say him. I'm gonna say him. It might be a twisted, fucked up librarian, but it's probably.
It's someone building up their... It's someone refining their method, and they're escalating because there's more and more happening, and they're going to be killing
people. It's a German prodigy serial killer in the making.
Yes, yeah, definitely a serial killer. It's categorically a serial killer.
Categorically? Fair enough.
Because there's a thing called... I think it's called the McDonald triad, which is animal torture, child abuse, and bedwetting, like signs. So this person will have had like that. You can build a profile from that.
Person. Sorry,
this
is bedwetting.
Yeah.
So animal torture and child abuse seem to be like things you can choose to do.
Yeah.
If you involuntarily wet the bed, oh shit, guys, I'm a serial killer.
I know. Like, so I'm a serial killer every time I get absolutely hammered at the end of the but yeah, I am 99.9% sure that is a serial killer.
So you're saying that the M25 cat killer, he's basically doing pre-season training at the moment, and then he's going to work up to be...
Yeah, I say we cancel all future podcasts and we turn this into the new serial.
We
hunt down the cat killer.
That would be a really good podcast.
It really would. We could. That is.
Imagine a stakeout.
Yeah.
We have to get bait, aren't we? My cats are wanky. You can have
it. We'll just be there eating tins of whiskers in a car.
It's what I would do anyway. So this is fine. If
he's not coming, we need a bigger cat. Ben, we're going to put you in the cat suit. Draw on the whiskers.
Midnight, all alone.
Oh my God, if Elaine Page gets killed. We know we've cracked it.
Like, he's got to have a good alibi. He's literally sung he's got a good memory.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was going to be my selection until half an hour ago, I discovered the Manchester Pusher.
Oh, I knew this was going to come up then. Let's talk Pusher.
So the Manchester Pusher, basically, in the past 7 years, 61 people have been found dead in Manchester canals. And the theory has gone out in Manchester that there is a person who is killing them by just pushing them in the canals. Which, again, as a modus operandi, is pretty lame. It's probably just a bunch of drunks falling in canals.
There's quite a few canals in Manchester, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly.
With that many canals, people are bound to fall in.
They are. What's the lowdown from the mean streets of Manchester?
Well, so it's been inflated, the figures, because I mean, if you take in the whole canal system, it's not one concentrated area. However,
how serials tend to operate.
Yeah, usually. I mean, it's not out of the realms of possibility that it would be all of it. Yeah. However, a lot of them are concentrated around the gay area, Manchester Canal Street, and it is not. I mean, history tells us that police do not take it seriously when the gay community are attacked in any way. And they go, oh, it's gay business, or, oh, it's their hedonistic lifestyles. Well, they've done that so many times. They did it with Jeffrey Dahmer. They literally were like, it's gay business, and then bought a boy back to his house.
That's my version of women's struggles. So I don't want to, then we're not talking about it. It's gay business.
Gay business, great podcast. Yeah, and I actually think, so my personal trainer, Clang, £15 an hour, let's get some perspective. Someone on a work do was killed of his in the gay area.
Right.
And not suicide, not that pissed, not suicide, because first of all, they said it was suicide. Men do not kill themselves by doing that. Men hang themselves or shoot themselves. They don't jump into very shallow, stinking water.
Or jump off bridges.
Or jump off bridges. It's always very big and final. But like not, I mean, they would just break their ankles. The canals aren't very deep. They're also fairly, like, easy to get. A lot of these guys are very fit and healthy and could, even if they're hammered, they could get out. So I do actually think there's something in it. And I think if you were going to target a group, you would target the homeless or you would target gays or sex workers, because those are the ones you can get away with for longer. I think there's something in it. I think that there's at least a few that are related. There was CCTV footage of this gentleman, and he was walking across a bridge. He's walking back home, and he runs back the other way, and then he was dead. So this is, I think there's something in it. And I don't want to be too sensationalist because also this is the other thing. Whenever there's a serial killer, the police go, no, there's not, because the public becomes hysteric and tabloids absolutely love a serial killer. So they will really inflate everything. You'll get suddenly loads of calls.
It's probably counterproductive to draw out a serial killer by saying, we know there's a serial killer.
Yeah. If I was a serial killer, that would be what I'd do. I'd probably go to the gay community, because especially in that part, because it's a big... Like, no offence, but like, you know, especially there, it's a big party, Manchester's a big party town with a great gay scene. Like, it's so easy to believe, oh, they've just got off their faces and fallen in the canal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's...
It's the perfect cover-up.
It's the perfect crime. It's all about the perfect crime.
Yeah.
No, perfect crime is the M25 cat killer.
Get out. I'm going to do my first gay murder. First of all, I was going to sort of do a hypothetical one in that someone who kills just everyone, because that is simultaneously really successful, but also like, oh, now what?
When you say everyone, you mean all 7 billion people
on
Earth?
Yeah, all 7 billion people.
That means that, like, oh, they've completed the game now.
Yeah, and then they've just got to go to making those little ships out of matchsticks.
Yeah, because part of being a serial killer is about having, like, an audience of sorts,
absolutely.
Like, people to appreciate what you've done.
Which papers they're going to write to if they've murdered all the journalists.
Well, but then in that case, like...
Self-published.
Oh, I can't wait to see that blog.
Like, Emperor Palpatine, Darth Vader and Grand Moff Tarth then are very much the world's worst serial killer because they blow up an entire planet.
Yeah, that's true. Mm.
Tarkin. I'm going to stop us getting the letters.
Sure, yeah, good point.
Yeah, they're the best serial killers on Alderaan.
No, they're not on Alderaan because they're off. Oh, I already hate this conversation.
Yeah. Oh, I've switched off big time.
I wonder if there's any good cat podcasts.
Yeah, Shipman... I really intensely dislike because he's... I'll
there are some serial killers you like, but...
Yeah, well, some of them I have sort of empathy with, that you can see the journey to get there, but he is just an arrogant doctor, and he's definitely killed more, so I'm not a fan of him.
Do you think he's made it to the thousands?
I would not be surprised.
Sorry, I'm saying that we're recording this podcast the day after Lionel Messi scored his 500th league goal for Barcelona, and I want something that the UK can hang its hat on.
I know, it used to be teen pregnancy, and we've really fallen off the boat. Yeah. What a shame. There was a guy called Wallace Souza, who was a Brazilian TV host, and he used to sort of host a programme. He was also in the police for a while there, and it was about, like, catching murders as and when they happen. So we'd have like a helicopter and eye in the sky thing, and he'd be like, right, we're going live to this now. And it was really exciting, and he would sort of, but then...
That sounds like Challenge Annika.
Yeah, totally was. Yeah. With murders. Yeah. Because it's quite really salacious.
Yeah, yeah.
South America loves murders. There's lots of true crime, like weekly magazines there. And what happened was, obviously, like the murders sort of started drying up, and he was like, well, I should probably make my own then. So sort of, you know, like the BBC fake it with polar bears. Well, like, he did it with murders.
The BBC are bumping off polar bears. I thought it was climate change.
No, no, that's the big conspiracy. Isn't it? It's just a bloody beep.
It's so it's like Nightcrawler, that film with Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. So it's the same sort of idea that he create his own news stories.
Exactly. Yeah. But my worst serial killer is categorically Dennis Rader, BTK.
Oh.
So Dennis Rader killed 10 people, all in Kansas. He started with a spree, which is quite unusual, killed a whole family, and then sporadically did it. Now, he nearly got away with it, but it wasn't for Pesky Kid.
Actually,
it was actually his own Pesky Kid. So he was getting away with it, and what happened was he, for a start, BTK stands for Bind, Torture, Kill, and that was a nickname he came up with himself. He's so arrogant. When we talk about in the podcast, we refer to him as the Alan Partridge of serial killers. He's so lame. He used to refer to this thing called the mother load, which was basically his desk in his office, which had all the everything that you could hand him in for, basically. He would keep trophies and all sorts of bits
in there. Did this all come out when he was caught? Or would he like write caught. To the police saying, by the way, guys, I've got a nickname for me. If you haven't got a nickname for me, just here
he
you
did
go.
That. That's what he did. He wrote to the police and the press, and he was like, I've been spitballing, and he came up, and Bind, Torture, Kill was one of them.
That's like the, it's like the burglars in Home Alone who are like, we've got to be the wet bandits.
The sticky bandits.
Yeah.
Bind, Torture, Kill, that's like Shag, Marry, Kill, for serial killers.
So he had, in his mother load, one of the things he had, this one of the things I really hate him for, was a video he had recorded to be played at his funeral, where he comes out to his family and friends as
a serial
BTK.
Killer.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I hate, like, generally I hate people who aren't serial killers who do that.
I mean, it just feels like a horrible fuck you from the grave. I hate stuff like that, where you keep punishing people for it. Because there's a short story by Stephen King about from the perspective of his wife that the family are not very keen on.
Yeah.
Because they're like, God, just give us a break, guys. Because he used to write to the newspapers, of course he did, and he had really weird spelling. And in fact, his wife said to him, God, you spell just like BTK. Because you would not think that the man that you've been married to for absolutely years is a pillar of community, who's, you know, big deal in the church and sort of scouts and things, is the, well, I would. But, like, is a murderer.
That
and
must
he's
be, because that, that's such a weird thing. It seemed like it's the fatal flaw every bloody time that they make, like, I know, not seriously, but Ian Huntley, who killed the two, Jessica, what were the names again?
Holly and Jessica.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Watched him do the interview on Sky News a couple of days before he was arrested. Where he was like, oh, I was a caretaker in school or whatever his job was. And they were lovely. And they were like, where's this dude come from? And my mum, watching it at the time, said, this guy's a bit creepy.
Really?
Yeah. And then a couple of days later, it turns out, he wants to be on the news to talk about these girls he killed.
That's the thrill for something. I hate that people who write to the arrogance of the hashtag white male arrogance. Of it.
it's basically the ultimate danger wank, isn't it? That's what I do.
Well, he used to really goad them. So for instance, he made this thing that was a mocked up cereal packet that was sort of clues about who he was. And then he put it in the back of someone's truck for them to find and give to the police. And then he wrote to the police going, did you not find my cereal packet? And they were like, what? And he's like, I put it in a truck. And then they watch the CCTV and they see someone, they can't see who, put it in. Uh-huh. And then the guy goes around to his truck, looks at it, and he's like, what the fuck is this shit? And just throws it in the bin. But it was cereal packet as well. It's such a cringy pun. He's so uncomfortable.
When was he active?
So really long time. So he went quiet for, I think he was active for about 16 years. Yeah. And then he went quiet until 2014.
Oh, right. So
and a 2004.
Right.
And what happened in 2004 is someone wrote an article going, oh, this guy is obviously dead or in prison. Do you remember this guy when we were all terrified about him? And he went, how dare you?
He did a comeback tour.
He did a comeback tour. And
in Rhinestones at Vegas.
He wrote 11 letters to the papers. And in one of them, he said to the police, so the police and the papers he's writing to, one of them he said to the police, can you trace floppy disks? And then he went, no. And he went, all right, I'm going to send you a disk. So they sent a disc and it was like last updated by Dennis from like whatever church he was in. So they were like, right. They noticed that he had the same car that they knew that he had. The fascinating precursor to this is when he was doing all the murders, he worked for ADT, the security company.
Right.
And because one of his things he used to do is he would wait in the house for the woman in their own home and then he would do it. He would get them in their own house, which I just think is so terrifying. They, home invasion is so scary.
Yeah, yeah.
But so he used to work for ADT, and he was really, really busy because the local area was like everyone was getting security fitted because they knew that there was a serial killer, and they're inviting this guy into their home.
Oh my god!
To learn the layout.
Really good screenwriter.
It is, isn't it? Don't worry, mate. I've got something bubbling on over this. So yeah, he used to write for police, and they saw this. Now that wasn't enough for a warrant for his arrest, but what they could get a warrant for was his daughter's smear test. So they got a warrant for her smear test. And they deduced, because he'd left DNA at the scenes, that she was related to BTK, and that was then enough to get a warrant. And then they arrested him in 2005. But he was writing these, oh God, he's so cringy, he's writing these letters to the police, sort of goading them, going, you'll never find me, and signing off Bill Thomas Kilman. So creepy and such Jesus. A loser.
He's like the I mean, you nailed it with Partridge, but it's sort of like trendy dad.
Yeah, so it is, yeah. Youth pastor. Yeah, he's I really, really dislike him because, yeah, for, I mean, all sorts of reasons, but just how cringy he is. And also, for me, the whole thing of, like, you wanted to play a video and ruin the lives of everyone at that funeral just so you have your final hurrah. I hate stuff like that. Albert Fish used to, he cannibalised children, and he used to write to the families telling them what he'd done to them. And I just hate, like, not that I like serial killers anyway, but I'm like, it can just be about you. You don't need to make everyone suffer even more than they already have.
Yeah. God, I know some comics like that.
It's the ones who go, absolutely smash that gig.
Absolutely smashed that murder last night.
Yeah. Took the roof off that poor sex worker. And by that I mean cut her head off. Too far. I never know what's dark or what's not. You'll see that.
I mean, we agreed to this. It's, it's too late now. I looked up, firstly, apparently serial killer, you have to kill three or more.
Yep.
Is that right?
And it has to be different. You're welcome. It can't all be at the same time because that's a spree. So it needs to be with a cooling off period between. And it can't be in
like, we have to have a peer review after each
kill. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It can't be like, you know, when people are like Tony Blair, well, technically he would be a mass murderer. He wouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah.
A spree. If you do it all in one sitting, you're a mass murderer.
Well, it's. I think it's more for like political gains, you know, as opposed to. And like high school shooters, they're spree killers.
Yeah.
Not very interested in them. It's about serial killers. We're quite strict.
It's a bit route one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, sometimes we'll allow it when they have a spree first, when they kill a family first, sure. Yes. And then they carry on. But yeah, generally.
I'll allow it.
what about two then? Why is it going to be three for a serial killer and not two?
Because I think most people could go, oh, I'd kill two people easily.
Yeah, okay.
So
okay,
three it suggests some psychosis. Yeah. Two is just a busy afternoon, isn't it? It's like when they found it. So in Manchester, about 2 years ago now, maybe, they found a bag of cat's heads on Curry Mile.
Oh my God, the M25 guy has expanded.
Yeah, well, he obviously was on the weekend away, wasn't he? He was at Pride scouting out. So they found this bag of cat's heads on Curry Mile, which actually I think later on was a sort of gross racially motivated thing.
Yeah.
And they never said how many. And I want to know how many, because I think three is just a kid's party that's gone wrong. But like 14, right, we need to start looking for someone. Yeah, exactly. But they really needed to specify how many.
Yeah, like you could accidentally kill a couple of people over the course of a lifetime.
Yeah.
You could knock someone down and just, you know, strangle an annoying partner.
Noel Hedmonds has killed two people. Like, you know, we can all do it accidentally.
Hold fucking everything. Go on.
Do you not know that story?
No.
Was it what program was it?
It was a morning program.
Morning
wasn't it?
Show, yeah.
It was a guy in a bungee, and a bungee thing on Noel's show. And there was a helicopter crash as well.
Yeah.
And then it was about the time that Mr. Blobby broke a kid's nose, which is why Blobbyland was mothballed and now there's illegal raids there.
Blobbyland also mentioned on a previous podcast.
Mate, there's so many references to Blobbyland and everything Gaines do. We're like, we've got to bring it back. The word fridge and Blobbyland.
Oh, we should put so you in touch with Angela Barnes. I looked up some serial killer stats. As of July 2016, the USA has had 2,743 serial killers.
Which, that they know of.
That they know of, which makes it four times more likely per head than the United Kingdom. The UK has had 145 serial killers. So, pretty much the home of serial killers, the USA.
I've got a theory that if there was a serial killer who bumped off police, they would find them within two. Like,
yeah. When look and then at, they wouldn't be a serial killer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, well, this is in Colin Island, the gay slayer, who operated in the 90s from the Royal Vauxhall Tavern, actually, in London.
Oh, yeah. Oh God.
He used to get the train over, and he was obsessed with serial killers and was like, I'm going to do the perfect crime. So, wanted to kill five, had all this stuff, and he had gone, right, I should kill gay people because police have got a really bad relationship with the gay community. He deliberately picked groups that wouldn't be touched, yeah. And I think that if you kill police, that you would very quickly
that's the plot be apprehended. That's the plot of that film, Triple Nine.
Oh, is it?
With they have to do a heist, and there's some crooked guys, and they decide the best way to do the heist is to have a 999 called, which means a police officer is down, because all units will go to the scene of that.
Wow.
Thus leaving them able to carry out the heist during the calamity,
right,
at the other scene. Mm. Yeah, which is quite clever.
Yeah, I'm convinced of that, is that because you see, you know, I mean, it's very unfortunate when anyone gets killed, especially police who are there to look after us, in theory.
That sounds like a disclaimer you've said on previous podcasts.
I just have after doing the Silla podcast, I have a real problem with the police. I had it anyway. So while my dad was like, hey, you're
keep
the best
asking
thing
her
ever,
about all those like, hats she's killed.
No, while my dad was like, you're amazing, you're brilliant, you know, you can do anything, he's also like, and pigs are scum. Like, yeah, police, and that's something that I've like definitely ingested. Internalised. That's not it either. I've never fucked a police officer. I want to make it clear in case my dad listens to this.
I looked up a bit about Burke and Hare.
Because
they weren't, everyone thinks, oh, they're grave diggers, but they mainly kill people. And I didn't realise that Hare gave witness against Burke to get immunity. And they were stealing
turncoats.
And they were killing all these bodies and supplying this guy Knox, who was the doctor who wanted to do all the dissections, and he was never prosecuted. So basically Burke was got the brunt of all of this, and Hare and Knox, who you never hear about, got away with it.
But that's why he gets to have his name go first.
Yeah, he has that.
Well, like Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah.
Also, you know, like, I'm writing, Burke and Hare is a strip club in Edinburgh.
Jesus.
It's part...
That sounds distasteful. Yeah. How much... What are they stripping off? Skin?
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Muscle? Like that,
like the Robbie
DJ.
Williams, yeah. You go in, it's just that on a loop for hours and hours.
Sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I found two that I want to talk about. There's a guy called Gilles de Rais, lived from 1405 to 1440. He was in the French court. He was a commander in the Royal Army. He fought alongside Joan of Arc at Orléans. Bit of a, not national hero, but one of those people like, good guy. Yeah. And after he left the army, he built a building which he called the Massive Chapel of the Holy Innocents, which already is
creepy. That's a red flag.
Yeah, yeah. and he basically went a little crazy and decided he wanted to like create this massive theatrical spectacle called Le Mystère du Siège d'Orléans, which had 20,000 lines of verse dialogue, 140 speaking roles in it.
Is this his R. Kelly's in the closet
moment? it's one of the more ill-fated artistic endeavours ever. It would have 500 extras, 600 costumes, all used once.
This sounds like the opening number of our Eurovision of Mass Murderers.
Yeah.
So he, in the midst of like being this like wealthy guy, he's going, I'm going to create this massive spectacle. I'm going crazy, crazy, crazy with this just big thing. They discovered some evidence that he had kidnapped a cleric.
Wow.
He just kidnapped a priest who'd wronged him.
Mm-hmm.
And that word got out, priest is missing. Oh, we're going to find the priest. Gilles de Rais has him in his weird Chapel of the Innocents. And so they went and got him. And then, obviously, they catched him for one thing. And they found maybe 80 to 200 kids worth of bones in this Chapel of Holy Innocents.
Oh, my God.
So in the midst of being, like, hiding in plain sight.
In stuff. like catacombs,
buried in the place, bone, the children had gone missing that they then sort of linked to him, all between the years 6 to 18, so all like underage. But he's apparently the inspiration for Bluebeard by Charles Perrault.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people also suggest he may have been linked to the Pied Piper of Hamelin. But I think he happened a bit after, and he's in the wrong country as well. But yeah. So yeah, he's quite an annoying one just for the flamboyance of it all.
What was his name?
Gilles de Rais.
Okay.
Or Giles Ray.
Okay,
cool. But my choice, I went down a similar route to you to find a bad serial killer. Have you heard of Thomas Quick?
No.
Oh, God, guys, this is great. So, Thomas Quick is Swedish. And the media called him Hannibal Lecter because he confessed to murder and rape and cannibalism of 30 different victims. And it's the typical sort of backstory. It's strict parents. He was secretly gay. Began using amphetamines, wanted acceptance, so you can see the troubled background he's come from. And he was charged with molestation and assault while using a knife. And he was admitted to a mental hospital in a place called Suter in Sweden in 1991 after robbing a bank dressed as Santa Claus. Which is, that's a cry for help in itself.
Yeah.
But over his time there, he began to confess to things. He confessed to the rape and murder of an 11-year-old in 1980, the killing of a 9-year-old Norwegian girl, the killing of an Israeli tourist, a couple who were camping in a tent, and there's a quote from somebody, the more and more violent or serious the crime, the more interest someone got from psychiatric personnel. So, the more violent the crime, the more they wanted to talk to him. And so, over his time in the hospital, he just began visiting and researching in the local library.
Jesus.
And all of these murders that he was convicted of, 8 murders, he became very famous, totally made up.
Really?
Yeah. The conviction was based completely on his confessions. They had no other evidence. He was still under the influence of benzos and all sorts of things.
He's the verbal Kint / Kaiser Soze of mass murder.
Yeah. Just everything. They believe he was repressing stuff. And so they just give him benzos and drugs to have him loosen his tongue. And they'd be able to smooth out any inconsistencies if they'd ask him questions at different time. He'd give a different, the right answer that they wanted. And the whole thing was just him going, yeah, I did that. I'm in here anyway. Oh, you want to talk to me?
It's like making a murderer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. And then eventually they found photos of him at a church when he said he was killing the boy hundreds of miles away. On the same day, they had photos of him in a church.
Oh, that must be the first person accused of a crime to be infuriated that someone's got an alibi for them.
No, I was killing
someone!
He said the Norwegian girl had blonde hair when she had brown. He gave 4 different weapons for killing the Israeli person. DNA didn't match the sperm from the victims. Bodies weren't where he said they were. And yet they were still like, yeah, I think he probably did it because he says he did.
Oh, God. That happens quite often, though, that like serial killers will confess to crimes they didn't do.
Yeah.
Just to be like... You know, like, people lie about how many people they've slept with. They always, like, add 3 more on.
But that tends to be they've already definitely done some.
Yeah.
Whereas he's like...
Except the ones who knock a few numbers off, that's the ones you should be worried about.
But is that the rule of, like, with female serial killers, do you times it by 3? And with male serial killers, you divide it by 3.
That's true.
So in 2001, there was a new director of the institution where he was appointed, and he reduced his dosages, and he basically very quickly stopped calling himself Thomas Quick, which was his... obviously what he was famous as. And a documentary maker discovered more of the truth as he interviewed him. He said, actually, I didn't do all of this. And he was released in 2014.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's happening to him now?
I don't know. I think probably, hopefully, witness protection.
Yeah, you hope so.
For all those crimes he didn't commit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think in terms of being his country's most famous serial killer, but having not actually serially killed anybody, Thomas Quick is
my
candidate.
A great one.
That's a really good show.
Thank you. Our candidates for the world's worst serial killer are Ben's option of the Manchester Pusher, which is such a banal name. Kiri's choice of BTK, aka Dennis Rader, and my option of Thomas Quick. We don't know if the Manchester Pusher exists.
No, he's a phantom. That's what makes him even worse.
I mean, Kiri thinks he probably does.
I think there is some kind of, something going on.
But he's not got the flamboyance and the sort of the certain je ne sais quoi. That's some of the other options too, I think.
He's like the sort of the Mancunian serial killer version of cow tipping.
Yes. If he kept it to that.
Yes. Or if he put cows into canals. So four legs coming out of them.
He's very slow. He is your guy who wants to kill everybody worldwide by slowly flooding the planet by going about a really slow way.
That's what he's doing, when he's not pushing people in, he's burning tyres to
speed up global warming.
Yeah,
to
the seas rise.
BDK sounds so annoying. I would pick Thomas Quick, except for the fact that he didn't really kill anybody. Whereas BDK just sounds so annoying, like that relative that you have to invite to get to a family gathering.
Every sentence
starts
with, "I think you'll find." Yeah. Like, that kind of thing. But I think Thomas Quick is amazing.
You like him?
Yeah, I think it's because he's got all the excitement, all the showbiz, and all the like fascinating childhood of a serial killer, but without any of the...
The follow
like,
through.
Yeah, out in the murders. So this is, but like he still told us about them. He's still painting the picture. I think he's incredible.
Well, you're the expert. If you're the expert, you've twisted my arm to go with my own choice.
Definitely.
Well then, Thomas Quick, wherever you may be in rural Sweden.
What a reveal now if you were like.
Kiri is Thomas Quick.
Also, the most brilliant thing about that choice is just imagine how fucked off BTK will be by it. I was so close!
Before we go, I have to give you some of the world's worst news of the week. And this news comes from Austin in Texas, where 30-year-old Delini Jayasuriya has won a Kia Optima LX car after continuously kissing the car for 50 hours.
Oh, man. Is that like tongues or just puckering up?
Well, lips attached to the car for 50 hours. It was one of these, you know, the whole touch the truck competitions that they sometimes do in America where you have to keep your hands on it and the last person left holding it is the person who gets the truck. Someone had decided to take it an extra level up and get the contestants to kiss the car they wanted.
Why must we just endlessly humiliate people? Do a nice thing.
It's called late stage capitalism.
They broadcast the first 4 hours of it on Facebook and then realise actually 4 hours is probably enough. We're just going to leave them to it now.
Yeah, I wonder if it was like, they should have just done the whole thing, like on Periscope or whatever. So you could, you know, like when you get, I used to work as a chef and I get home late and it's hard to unwind when you've had a stressful job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just watch people sleep on Big Brother until I get myself to sleep. I'd happily watch people kiss a car.
Anticipation of something different happening. It never does, but the thought that something might happen.
It would have been much better if the car was just crawling at 4 miles an hour and he had to keep up with it. Oh.
Apparently, this is quite common. I knew about the touch the truck things, but apparently Chevy have been doing this sort of competition, the kissing thing, since 2007 in China and in various places.
The next stage up is you're going to have to put your dick in the exhaust pipe.
Yeah. As long as possible. It's going to be those, like,
fuck the truck.
Yeah, those people who really love cars and end up boffing them. Some of them are going to be having sex with a crease in a leather interior.
That's the way we root out serial killers. We lure them into car competitions.
What, like you boff the crease in the seat and then just go, oh, there's a cereal packet in here.
Before you go, Kiri, please tell us, where can people find you and more about you and listen to you and all sorts of things?
I'm on Twitter and Facebook. My name's Kiri Pritchard-McLean. I've got a website. I don't know when this is going to come out, but I'm doing a run at the Soho Theatre at the end of June. It'd be great if you could come to that. And I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, my new show, Appropriate Adult.
Yeah, and where can people get your podcast?
Oh, yeah. So it's called All Killer, No Filler, and I think it's just on everything.
Yeah.
And it's spelled cool, like all killer, no filler, because the other one was taken. It's not because I'm cool.
That's the sort of cool graffiti that certain US police forces would go, that is a clue.
There's some sort of code hidden there. Yeah. Only we look in the right place. Meanwhile, we are all off to go invent backstories and killing sprees we never committed. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, man, I'm off to get some cats.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend that I haven't been wetting the bed.
I'm going to jump in a Manchester canal. See you guys. Thanks for listening.
So that was Kiri Pritchard-McLean. My God, she's got an encyclopedic memory when it comes to serial killers.
I mean, I was delighted to have her on the show. Part of me now feels that we should be reporting her to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's
she's got that sort of flagrantly flaunting her bloodlust thing. She hosts her own podcast about serial killers. The perfect cover.
Oh my God, she's hiding in plain sight. That's exactly what it
That's
is.
That's what it would be. And she's going to turn out to be the Manchester Canal Pusher.
Oh, yeah. But it's like the way that she talks about serial killers is with the relish that a cricket nerd will just bring up a statistic from a 1970s test match.
Kiri Pritchard-McLean, the wisdom.
The wisdom of serial killers. Oh, that is a stocking filler for all sorts of emos and goths.
Oh, man.
Anyway, if you enjoyed Kiri, firstly, you'll be hearing a lot of her because she's on Radio 4 quite often now. Mm. If you're going up to the Edinburgh Festival, go see her show, Appropriate Adult. It's on in the attic at the Pleasance Courtyard from the 2nd to the 28th of August at 8:15 p.m. It's guaranteed to be a good time.
Yeah, and do remember to, if you're interested in that sort of thing, to subscribe to her podcast as well, All Killer, No Filler. And do the usual thing with us. Here's the bit you listen to every week. Maybe this week you'll act on it. Go on, give us a few stars on iTunes. We'd love you to do that. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and all the usual pod places that you get your listening joy from.
Yeah, I'm going to say, actually, British people, this is going specifically out to you, because we've done a little bit of recon, and people not from Britain, they are leaving us reviews. Mm. Now, you don't let down your countrymen.
Guys, this is Brexit Britain.
This is Brexit Britain. I realised I've said you don't let your countrymen down, and then the next voice you heard was an Irishman.
Yeah, slowly bring you down from the inside. Of course, give us a follow on all the other places, like Twitter, at WorstFoot, on Facebook, and drop us an email, worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com. Follow Ben on Twitter, at Ben Vandeveld, and I am at BazMaxDay.
Yeah, last of all, cheeky little plugs for myself. I'm doing some previews of my new show, Sidekick. If you live in Woking, or anywhere near there in Surrey, on the 29th of June, I'm at the Lightbox, which is like a gallery and a performance space. And if you live in Somerset,
someone's going to hang you on a wall, put a rope around you, and enter you at the Turner price. Sorry, I'm just amusing myself.
No, all I've got there is double entendres, and when I'm advertising my comedy, I don't want to do a double entendre. I'm also going to be in Somerset at the Shaftesbury Fringe. I will level with you. Don't know where Shaftesbury is, but it looks
and the fringe of Shaftesbury is even further away from wherever you think that is. When's that going to be?
That's going to be on July the 2nd at 8 o'clock at Shaston Social Club. It's where lovely. It's all happening.
Sounds delightful.
So look forward to meeting loads of you there and that.
I'm currently on holidays, enjoying the sunshine in Portugal, but the day after I get back, you'll be able to hear our next episode with the lovely Dana Alexander, in which we talk about the world's worst drivers. Dana's a fantastic comedian from Canadiana, and that's what they pronounce it, right? That's
sure.
The full official name of Canada?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she has some serious beef with bad drivers, so tune in for some real road rage.
Yeah, now, Barry, you get back to the beach. I'm going to find out where the fuck Shaftesbury is.